Unit 2, Part 2, Development of 4R Skills. Section A, Listening Comprehension. Task 1. Now listen to a news item and answer question 1.
WHO officials say most of the deaths result from lack of skilled care during pregnancy and childbirth and lack of clean conditions. Many babies would survive with safe birthing methods, good nutrition, vaccines against disease, and good care at home. The disease AIDS is also an increasing threat to both mothers and their children. Experts say many deaths could be prevented by using medicines during childbirth that prevent mothers from passing the AIDS virus to their babies. The WHO says governments and the international community need to make the health of women and children a more important issue. Last year, nations approved Millennium Development Goals for the year 2015. They agreed to work to reduce the number of women dying in childbirth by 3/4. They also promised to reduce the number of child deaths by 2/3. Now listen to the item again and answer question 2. WHO officials say most of the deaths result from lack of skilled care during pregnancy and childbirth and lack of clean conditions. Many babies would survive with safe birthing methods, good nutrition, vaccines against disease, and good care at home. The disease AIDS is also an increasing threat to both mothers and their children. Experts say many deaths could be prevented by using medicines during childbirth that prevent mothers from passing the AIDS virus to their babies. The WHO says governments and the international community need to make the health of women and children a more important issue. Last year, nations approved Millennium Development Goals for the year 2015. They agreed to work to reduce the number of women dying in childbirth by 3/4. They also promised to reduce the number of child deaths by 2/3. Task 2. Now listen to a news item and answer question 3.
Last week, the World Health Organization announced that more than 6,000 people worldwide have died from H1N1 flu. The WHO says that as of November the 1st, some 200 countries and territories have reported close to 500,000 confirmed cases. WHO officials say the actual number is probably higher. Dr. Shushat says people in high-risk categories, such as those with diabetes, have to be especially cautious. When people with diabetes get flu, it can be more difficult for them to manage their blood sugar. They can suffer high and low blood sugar. So paying special attention with flu when you have diabetes is important, she says. Many doctors say the H1N1 vaccine is the best protection against the virus. The problem is, there is still a shortage. The only company making the vaccine in the US is behind schedule. But supplies are expected to increase before the year's end. As the supply increases, we do think that access and convenience and ease to getting vaccinated will improve, she says.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 4.
Last week, the World Health Organization announced that more than 6,000 people worldwide have died from H1N1 flu. The WHO says that as of November the 1st, some 200 countries and territories have reported close to 500,000 confirmed cases. WHO officials say the actual number is probably higher. Dr. Shushat says people in high-risk categories, such as those with diabetes, have to be especially cautious. When people with diabetes get flu, it can be more difficult for them to manage their blood sugar. They can suffer high and low blood sugar. So paying special attention with flu when you have diabetes is important, she says. Many doctors say the H1N1 vaccine is the best protection against the virus. The problem is there is still a shortage. The only company making the vaccine in the US is behind schedule. But supplies are expected to increase before the year's end. As the supply increases, we do think that access and convenience and ease to getting vaccinated will improve, she says. Task 3. Now listen to a news item and answer question 5.
Palestinians continued to attack Israeli targets in the West Bank and Gaza Strip Friday, undermining efforts by U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell to end the violence that has continued for 9 months. Mr. Powell announced that there must be 7 days of quiet to assess whether the Israeli-Palestinian ceasefire agreement is holding and the two sides can take steps to return to peace talks. Violence flared just hours after Mr. Powell's departure from Israel Friday. Palestinian militants fired mortar bombs at Jewish settlements in the Gaza Strip. And in the divided West Bank town of Hebron, Palestinian youths hurled rocks and petrol bombs at Israeli soldiers. The Israeli troops, who are there to protect the small community of Jewish settlers, fired on the Palestinians with rubber-coated metal bullets. Israeli leaders say that unless all such incidents are halted, they will not adopt the next steps in a plan promoted by Secretary of State Colin Powell to get the two sides back to the negotiating table.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 6.
Palestinians continued to attack Israeli targets in the West Bank and Gaza Strip Friday, undermining efforts by U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell to end the violence that has continued for 9 months. Mr. Powell announced that there must be 7 days of quiet to assess whether the Israeli-Palestinian ceasefire agreement is holding and the two sides can take steps to return to peace talks. Violence flared just hours after Mr. Powell's departure from Israel Friday. Palestinian militants fired mortar bombs at Jewish settlements in the Gaza Strip. And in the divided West Bank town of Hebron, Palestinian youths hurled rocks and petrol bombs at Israeli soldiers. The Israeli troops, who are there to protect the small community of Jewish settlers, fired on the Palestinians with rubber-coated metal bullets. Israeli leaders say that unless all such incidents are halted, they will not adopt the next steps in a plan promoted by Secretary of State Colin Powell to get the two sides back to the negotiating table. Task 4. Now listen to a long conversation and answer questions 7 to 8.
In the Norwegian Arctic, researchers immobilize polar bears with drugs and then fit them with radio collars so they can be tracked by satellite, part of a new study sponsored by World Wildlife Fund, WWF, the conservation organization, to monitor how global warming is taking a serious toll on polar bears. According to experts, Arctic sea ice has been shrinking by 3% each decade since the 1970s, and that shortens the season when polar bears can hunt seals and walruses.
Its basis for survival is being threatened. The sea ice is melting earlier in the spring, which is sending the polar bears to land earlier without having developed enough fat reserves to survive the ice-free season. By the end of the summer, they are skinny bears, and we've seen in places like Hudson Bay that their reproductive success is being jeopardized.
This study will find out how the bears are adapting to climate change, where they go and what they do to survive, and will monitor the health and condition of the polar bears over time. Polar bears are, I think, an important indicator to get an understanding of what's happening in the Arctic. There's a lot of other species that will be affected by climate change and or pollution. But when you look at it, polar bears are much easier to study in a lot of respects, and that we can catch the same individuals over a long period of time. We can follow them for many years and get good insights into what's happening. WWF says the impact of climate change on polar bears underscores the critical need to reduce carbon pollution, which is widely blamed for global warming, and for all nations to sign and ratify the Kyoto Protocol on climate change.
The Kyoto Climate Treaty requires all nations to reduce their carbon emissions so that the negative impacts of climate change can be halted. It's the only global effort to fight climate change, and it's a good step forward in the right direction.
Experts now say if the trend continues, in 100 years, by the end of each summer, there will be no ice at all in the Arctic Ocean.
Now listen to the conversation again and answer questions 9 to 12.
In the Norwegian Arctic, researchers immobilize polar bears with drugs and then fit them with radio collars so they can be tracked by satellite, part of a new study sponsored by World Wildlife Fund, WWF, the conservation organization, to monitor how global warming is taking a serious toll on polar bears. According to experts, Arctic sea ice has been shrinking by 3% each decade since the 1970s, and that shortens the season when polar bears can hunt seals and walruses.
Its basis for survival is being threatened. The sea ice is melting earlier in the spring, which is sending the polar bears to land earlier without having developed enough fat reserves to survive the ice-free season. By the end of the summer, they're skinny bears, and we've seen in places like Hudson Bay that their reproductive success is being jeopardized.
This study will find out how the bears are adapting to climate change, where they go and what they do to survive, and will monitor the health and condition of the polar bears over time. Polar bears are, I think, an important indicator to get an understanding of what's happening in the Arctic. There's a lot of other species that will be affected by climate change and or pollution. But when you look at it, polar bears are much easier to study in a lot of respects, and that we can catch the same individuals over a long period of time. We can follow them for many years and get good insights into what's happening. WWF says the impact of climate change on polar bears underscores the critical need to reduce carbon pollution, which is widely blamed for global warming and for all nations to sign and ratify the Kyoto Protocol on climate change.
The Kyoto Climate Treaty requires all nations to reduce their carbon emissions so that the negative impacts of climate change can be halted. It's the only global effort to fight climate change, and it's a good step forward in the right direction.
Experts now say if the trend continues, in 100 years, by the end of each summer, there will be no ice at all in the Arctic Ocean.
Task 5. Now listen to a long conversation and answer questions 13 to 14.
In Iceland, millions of fat-beaked birds from the world's largest colony of Atlantic puffins. 60% of the world's population breeds there. Some end up on dinner plates, and local conservationists aren't upset. Natalie Powelski explains.
On the bird world scale of cuteness, puffins rank pretty high up there. And in Iceland's Westman Islands, one of the biggest puffin colonies in the world, locals love these colourful, chubby birds, on the wing or on the menu. It's weird to eat something that looks like a beanie baby. No, I was thinking that it was this cute little bird. But in the interests of journalism, tastes like chicken. It doesn't taste like chicken. Actually, it tastes like liver. But more important, puffins are an example of what conservationists call a sustainable hunt. While individual animals are killed, the species thrives. In the 1890s, puffing feathers became fashionable. Hunters here in the Westman Islands used big nets to catch hundreds of the birds at once. In just a few years, they almost wiped out the entire puffin population. Using big nets has been illegal ever since. Since then, puffin hunters go after individual birds with sort of overgrown lacrosse stick. They follow strict traditions. For example, if the puffin has fish in its beak, it's going home to feed its young, so you don't kill it. If the puffin looks you in the eye, you don't kill it. And if the puffin cries, and yes, they tell me puffins really can cry, you don't kill it. So plenty of puffins escape to make more puffins.
You look at them as good birds. They are kind and good until they bite you.
Gisli Oskarsson is a biology teacher and cameraman, known as the Puffin Man. He studied and filmed the birds for years.
25% of the Atlantic puffin is here, on these tiny islands you see here around you. And this is the only area where their population is growing. They are decreasing on both sides of the Atlantic.
Puffin parents dig nesting burrows into the cliffs and spend their days fishing for their families.
They can dive down to 57 meters at least, and they stay underwater for about 60 seconds.
Each year, as Iceland's brief summer draws to a close, some young puffins trying to make their way to the sea are confused by the lights of the Westman's Island's only town. Children gather up the lost birds and set them free, so they can end up the next generation of puffin parents, or maybe as somebody's dinner. Now listen to the conversation again and answer questions 15 to 18.
In Iceland, millions of fat-beaked birds from the world's largest colony of Atlantic puffins. 60% of the world's population breeds there. Some end up on dinner plates, and local conservationists aren't upset. Natalie Powelski explains.
On the bird world scale of cuteness, puffins rank pretty high up there. And in Iceland's Westman Islands, one of the biggest puffin colonies in the world, locals love these colourful, chubby birds, on the wing or on the menu. It's weird to eat something that looks like a beanie baby. No, I was thinking that it was this cute little bird. But in the interests of journalism, tastes like chicken. It doesn't taste like chicken. Actually, it tastes like liver. But more important, puffins are an example of what conservationists call a sustainable hunt. While individual animals are killed, the species thrives. In the 1890s, puffin feathers became fashionable. Hunters here in the Westman Islands used big nets to catch hundreds of the birds at once. In just a few years, they almost wiped out the entire puffin population. Using big nets has been illegal ever since. Since then, puffin hunters go after individual birds with sort of overgrown lacrosse stick. They follow strict traditions. For example, if the puffin has fish in its beak, it's going home to feed its young, so you don't kill it. If the puffin looks you in the eye, you don't kill it. And if the puffin cries, and yes, they tell me puffins really can cry, you don't kill it. So plenty of puffins escape to make more puffins.
You look at them as good birds. They are kind and good until they bite you.
Gisli Oskarsson is a biology teacher and cameraman, known as the Puffin Man. He studied and filmed the birds for years.
25% of the Atlantic puffin is here, on these tiny islands you see here around you. And this is the only area where their population is growing. They are decreasing on both sides of the Atlantic.
Puffin parents dig nesting burrows into the cliffs and spend their days fishing for their families.
They can dive down to 57 meters at least, and they stay underwater for about 60 seconds.
Each year, as Iceland's brief summer draws to a close, some young puffins trying to make their way to the sea are confused by the lights of the Westman's Island's only town. Children gather up the lost birds and set them free, so they can end up the next generation of puffing parents, or maybe as somebody's dinner.
Section B. Listening-based integrated tasks. Zan's dad drives fast on the road and scarcely hit a cheetah cub, who has just lost his mum and escaped from the killer, a lion.
Dad, back there, we hit it!
No, we didn't hit it. Come on, where is he?
Listen, over there. See it?
Come on, come on. Over there, look.
Yeah.
Go around, behind.
Got it!
Zan, 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 here, here, here. Slow down, you.
A truck went by.
All right, what's that? How the devil did you get out here, fella? He's shaking like a leaf. See that?
Yep.
You think he's lost?
Yeah. See his mom?
No. Well, I think you're right, yeah. Come here, you. Here, take him. Take him.
At Zan's home.
Hey, you.
How's he doing? He's hungry, huh?
What on earth are you doing?
Watch and learn, my friend. Ice cream goes in here. Flour goes on top. Baby bottle. Enjoy.
He's a feisty guy.
Yeah, and voila.
He's drinking. His face, black streaks.
Yeah.
You know what that means.
What?
A cheetah.
A cheetah, yeah.
The world's fastest animal. From 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. I bet it's faster than your Porsche.
Maybe. You think we should hang on to him?
Why not? Where else is he gonna go?
We can't keep him forever. Not any more than your mum and I can keep you. He's gonna go back to the world he came from one day.
Zan's dad knocks the door.
Yeah?
Got any room for me?
Sure, Dad.
So, we gotta talk about our friend here. He's almost grown.
But Duma's...
Hang on. He's nearly too old to survive out there. Duma's got to live the life he was born to. So we got to take him back. Now.
He doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to be wild.
No, you can't decide that for him, Zan. He's a wild animal, remember? His wildness is something he knows without even knowing it. It's in his bones. It's in his blood. Like a memory, yeah? Like how I know I belong here on Grandpa's farm.
But there's hardly any cheetahs left. Where else would he go besides our farm?
We're here, yeah? And then all the way up there, we found him here. And just north and west, mountains, yeah? Little valley, the river, lots of springbok and gazelle, big cat heaven, chase, trip, bite. How hard could it be? Chase, trip, bite. So you and I will take him up next week, okay? We'll camp out, do a bit of fishing. It'll be lekker, man. Send him off. Zan's dad drives fast on the road and scarcely hit a cheetah cub, who has just lost his mum and escaped from the killer, a lion.
Dad, back there, we hit it!
No, we didn't hit it. Come on, where is he?
Listen, over there. See it?
Come on, come on. Over there, look.
Yeah.
Go around, behind.
Got it!
Zan, 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 here, here, here. Slow down, you.
A truck went by.
All right, what's that? How the devil did you get out here, fella? He's shaking like a leaf. See that?
Yep.
You think he's lost?
Yeah. See his mom?
No. Well, I think you're right, yeah. Come here, you. Here, take him. Take him.
At Zan's home.
Hey, you.
How's he doing? He's hungry, huh?
What on earth are you doing?
Watch and learn, my friend. Ice cream goes in here. Flour goes on top. Baby bottle. Enjoy.
He's a feisty guy.
Yeah, and voila.
He's drinking. His face, black streaks.
Yeah.
You know what that means.
What?
A cheetah.
A cheetah, yeah.
The world's fastest animal. From 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. I bet it's faster than your Porsche.
Maybe. You think we should hang on to him?
Why not? Where else is he gonna go?
We can't keep him forever. Not any more than your mum and I can keep you. He's gonna go back to the world he came from one day.
Zan's dad knocks the door.
Yeah?
Got any room for me?
Sure, Dad.
So, we gotta talk about our friend here. He's almost grown.
But Duma's...
Hang on. He's nearly too old to survive out there. Duma's got to live the life he was born to. So we got to take him back. Now.
He doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to be wild.
No, you can't decide that for him, Zan. He's a wild animal, remember? His wildness is something he knows without even knowing it. It's in his bones. It's in his blood. Like a memory, yeah? Like how I know I belong here on Grandpa's farm.
But there's hardly any cheetahs left. Where else would he go besides our farm?
We're here, yeah? And then all the way up there, we found him here. And just north and west, mountains, yeah? Little valley, the river. Lots of springbok and gazelle. Big cat heaven. Chase, trip, bite. How hard could it be? Chase, trip, bite. So you and I will take him up next week, okay? We'll camp out, do a bit of fishing. It'll be lekker, man. Send him off.